Hello and welcome to Reflections. I'm your girl Nadine Edwards. Thank you for joining. I hope as you listen today, you'll be inspired, uplifted, motivated in your continued pursuit of becoming a better version of yourself. I know some of you may be wondering, what happened to last week's episode of Reflections? I just decided to take a break. I felt a little on the low side, you know. We all have those days when we feel low and just feel like we just don't want to do anything. It's just a part of being human. As usual, if you're not yet following, please go ahead and hit that subscribe or follow button. And provided that you like today's content, please remember to like and leave a comment if you're inclined to do so. Cannibalism has a time and place, and the time is now. These are not my words. The New York Times recently published an article on the 23rd of July, to be specific, and the writer Alex Beggs seemed to have triggered a wave of backlash from the readers who took to social media to express their disgust on the subject of cannibalism. In the article, Alex provided insight into cannibalism's growing relevance in the pop culture, especially in a spate of recent stomach-churning books. Among those books was the one author called Chelsea Summers, who entitled her book A Certain Hunger. She made the quote, "Cannibalism has a time and place, and that time is now." My response to that is that so? Many of you would agree that cannibalism is nothing new. This was something that was practiced in prehistoric times, in the first 1000 BC, which means before the Common Era. Even in the Bible, there are records of both literal and figurative references to cannibalism, which I will touch on in a moment. But first, allow me to explore a little on what cannibalism really is. Even in the Bible, there are records of both literal and figurative references to cannibalism, which I will touch on in a moment. But first, allow me to explore a little on what cannibalism really is. Cannibalism, by definition, according to Wikipedia, is the act of consuming another individual of the same species as food. Research also reveals that there are five categories of cannibalism: symbolic, learned cannibalistic behavior, pathological cannibalism, auto-cannibalism, and the survival cannibalism. Symbolic is one that resides in the abstract spiritual realm. Learned cannibalistic behavior is one that is normalized in a society through either endocannabinoid, eating someone within a group, or there's the exocannibalism, which is eating someone outside of a group for empowerment. Pathological cannibalism points to serial killers like Jeffrey Dahmer, who killed and ate people's bodies in the hopes of creating some sort of undead sex slave. Auto-cannibalism occurs when a person eats themselves. This encompasses a range of behaviors from the innocuous, which involves chewing one's fingernails, among other things, which I won't bother to disturb your breakfast or the lunch or the dinner you're probably enjoying this moment while listening to this podcast. Then the final category is survival, which pretty much sounds straightforward. This is the eating of human flesh in order to survive. Some of you may know the movie Alive, which was about the rugby team whose plane crash landed in the Andes Mountains. And it was not until 72 days, not hours, 72 days before they were found. That meant some died and the survivors had to eat their bodies to survive. But which category of cannibalism do you think Summers was making reference to when she made that statement, "Cannibalism has a time and place, and that time is now"? By the way, let me hasten to say that Chelsea Summers is not the only one who feels this way, because mention was made in the article of TV shows such as Yellow Jacket, a series that was premiered last November on Showtime. It is about a high school women's soccer team stranded in the woods for a few months, too many. Then there's a film that was released on Hulu in March called Fresh, which involves an underground human meat trade for the rich. There's also books, Lapfona, Otiza Moshfake novel, pardon me if I did not pronounce that name correctly, Her novel, published in June, portrays cannibalism in a medieval village overcome by plague and drought. Augustina Basterica's book, Tender is the Flesh, released in English in 2020 and in Spanish in 2017, imagines a future society that farms humans like cattle. Still to come is Bones and All, starring Timothée Chalamet. This movie about a young love that becomes a lust for human consumption is expected to be released later this year or early next. Its director Luca Guadagnino has called the story extremely romantic. Can you imagine? This is where we are at, ladies and gentlemen. The co-creator of Yellow Jackets, Miss Lyle, asked the question, what may be fueling the desire for cannibalism stories today? Her response, I think that we're obviously in a very strange moment. She listed the pandemic, climate change, school shootings, and years of political cacophony as possible factors. She added, I feel like the unthinkable has become the thinkable. And cannibalism is very much squarely in that category of the unthinkable. But let me ask you this, listener. Do you believe that we are living in unthinkable times? When you look at everything that is happening in the world today, through social and mainstream media, we don't have to think twice to realize something is off with the way humanity is behaving and thinking and speaking. And I'm talking from top down. I have heard it said, trust the science. But can you? A lot of things that were labeled as conspiracy theory years ago that we now see playing out right before our very eyes. Are we really living in unthinkable times? Could it be that these unthinkable talks about cannibalism being referenced in TV films could very well be hinting at something that will play out in the not so distant future? Could it be that history is repeating itself? Let us now take a look at the first biblical reference of cannibalism. In 2 Kings 6 verses 24 to 30, there was a particular scenario here. In this little passage was a scene that highlighted a period when Samaria was under siege by the Aramean army. During this time, there was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver. And a quarter of a cob of dove's poop for 5 shekels. Yes, you heard right. People were eating poop to survive. But it gets worse. As the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, the then prime minister or the then president, if you will, a woman cried to him, help me, my lord, the king, help. You know what his response was? If the Lord does not help you, how can I help you? In other words, you're on your own. But he nevertheless said to her, okay, what's the matter? And you know what she said? She and another woman made a meal deal over their sons. On this particular day, the deal was that they both will eat the son of the lady who was making the complaint. And the next day, they both will eat the son of the other lady. So they ate the son. Matter of fact, the Bible said, they cooked the lady's son and ate it. But when the next day came, she called for the lady's son, but she hid him. That was a controversy. So here we see the presence of the military. Martial law, if you will. Nobody in, nobody out. We see here economic instability because war is one factor that brings economic instability. And once the economy becomes unstable, recession kicks in. Inflation was at its highest, and we see that from the price of the donkey's head for 80 shekels. Mark you, I don't understand what the currency was like then, but from the mere fact the author mentioned the price of a donkey's head, it tells me two things. Either donkey was not something they ate as a normal plate or meal, seeing that it was one of the primary modes of transportation, or they shared it to show the ridiculousness of the price because of how rationed food was. The author even went as far and shared with us that a bird's poop was pricey and in demand to show how grievous, if you will, starvation was. So inflation was through the roof. Prices are high when food supply is lacking. and the demand is high. Food was running out, and whatever was in supply was controlled. Do we see details of this story playing out today? Are we not seeing a big disturbance in the food chain? Farming activities across the world are being disrupted by quote-unquote climate change laws being imposed. In the stores, more and more we are seeing empty shelves. And as a result, farming is slowly creeping in. Who is buying up the farmlands? Are the most powerful people in this world trying to control the food? Let me now refer to another article I read recently. This article was published by Oval Media, Understanding the World. It was published on the 29th of April, 2022. And the title was, New Controlled Food System is Now in Place. The writer Corey Lynn started the article with an interesting quote. It says, who controls the food supply controls the people. Who controls the energy can control whole continents. Who controls money can control the world. This famous quote by Henry Kissinger is ringing more and more true by the week. The article continues to say the globalists already control the majority of the money, are moving ever so swiftly to convert the energy system over into systems they are all invested in, and have been taking drastic measures to control the food industry while running much of it under the radar. If they control the seeds, they control the food. And if they control the food, they can use digital ID to control consumer access to the food. While a rash of fires suddenly destroy food processing, meat, and fertilizer plants during a time where farmers are hurting and supply chain issues are kicking in, an entire traceable food infrastructure system has already been built in multiple cities and it's making its way across the globe. Gates insists that droughts and climate change is destroying our ability to farm, and that the future will consist of populations moving into metropolitan cities where indoor vertical farming is necessary to feed people. If this is the case, why has he acquired 242,000 acres of farmland across the past decade while simultaneously investing in indoor vertical farming? Who gets to sit down at the table with healthy produce served by the Gates while the rest of the population eats gene-edited produce from locked-down facilities, delivered to their local grocery store and accessed only through a digital ID? Imagine a day where farmers' markets no longer exist. You can't drive over to your local farmer to buy produce or cuts of meat. And the only food growing outside of the globalist secured indoor vertical farming and lab-grown meat facilities is in your windowsill, garden, or greenhouse. Urban indoor farming controlled by the globalists is the future of food they have reimagined, and it's already in thousands of grocery stores without people realizing it. Whereas the US is leading in this industry, this is a global agenda with vertical farms popping up across the globe. For perspective, the USDA and FDA have already approved lab-grown meat, genetically modified cattle, and are funding the globalists to research and develop cellular agriculture as well as indoor growers and genetic companies while they slack on regulations for gene-edited produce. Well, over a dozen major food processing and meat plants have coincidentally gone up in flames in the past several months. And this is where I will stop in the article because there's so much information embedded in this. I will leave the link below so you can check it out for yourself. It is loaded with eye-opening information. Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of time you see the smoke before you see the fire. We all know that the war in Ukraine is having an indelible impact upon the world economies. If you take a look at oil prices, an inflation that is surging out of control, climate change laws imposed on farmers all over the world that is affecting their ability to farm, all in the name of climate change. We see food shortages and increasing starvation. We know that something serious is on the horizon. Already in some countries, there's civil unrest. A hungry man is an angry man. I see that becoming more prevalent across the globe as hardship climbs. Did you know that the head of the Catholic Church stated that World War III has been declared? Can you see chaos coming? When I saw the title of that article, "Our Food Are Now Being Controlled," Revelation 13:16 comes to mind. It caused both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked in the right hand and in their forehead, so that no one can buy or sell who does not have the mark. That is the name of the beast and the number of its name. As to who this beast is, what's his mark and its number, is a whole other study. But what I am seeing here is a time that is not too far when you won't be able to buy or sell unless you conform, unless you have the mark of the beast. And you see, they're coming up with all this digital ID, and they're factoring all your personal information into a new system. And very soon, we will have a cashless society. Pay attention. Everything is tending in one direction. And very soon, we will know. This is no conspiracy theory, my friend. Pay attention. The table's being set, and there's coming a hardship in this world. Never since there was a nation. According to scripture found in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And hear what it says. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Can I just add quickly that even political analysts are projecting that there will be an unprecedented recession that cannot be compared to preceding recessions. All of this hardship and poverty that is soon to break upon the world will soon put cannibalism into perspective as a thing. And can I tell you, it will be history repeating itself. Do I believe we are living in the time of the unthinkable? Yes. Do I believe the history of cannibalism will repeat itself? Yes. And here's why. Hollywood has been showing us a lot in plain sight for decades. And many of the things that they produce are now playing out in plain sight, right before our very eyes. That is what we call predictive programming, my friend. The prophecies of the Bible are also playing out right before our very eyes. When Jesus in Matthew 24 was telling the disciples of the coming destruction upon Jerusalem, it was a prophecy that also pointed to the end of the world, the time in which we now come to live. If you research the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70 on the internet, you will find it. But there's a book that is called Great Controversy, written by Ellen White, gave a little more insight as to what really transpired as Jerusalem was seized by the Roman army. In chapter 1, page 8, she describes the horrific scenes when Titus and his army sieged the city. She wrote, "Terrible was the calamities that fell upon Jerusalem when the siege was resumed by Titus. The city was invested at the time of the Passover, when millions of Jews were assembled within its walls. Their stores of provisions, which if carefully preserved would have supplied the inhabitants for years, had previously been destroyed through the jealousy and revenge of the contending factions. And now, all the horrors of starvation were experienced. A measure of wheat was sold for a talent. So fierce were the pangs of hunger that men would gnaw the leather of their belts and the sandals and the covering of their shields. Great numbers of the people would steal out at night to gather wild plants growing outside the city walls, though many were seized and put to death with cruel torture, and often those who returned in safety were robbed of what they had gleaned at so great peril. The most inhumane torture were inflicted by those in power to force from the want-stricken people the last scanty supplies, which they might have concealed. And these cruelties were not frequently practiced by men who were themselves well-fed. and who were merely desirous of laying up a store of provision for the future. Thousands perished from famine and pestilence. Natural affection seemed to have been destroyed. Husbands robbed their wives, and wives their husbands. Children would be seen snatching the food from the mouth of their aged parents. The question of the prophet, she quotes Isaiah 49:15 here. Can a woman forget her suckling child? Received the answer within the walls of that doomed city. Have you ever heard of doomsday? She quoted Lamentations 4:10 that says, the hands of the pitiful women have sodden their own children. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people. The NRS version puts it this way, the hands of compassionate women have boiled their own children. They became their food in the destruction of my people. Ladies and gentlemen, this was desperate times and it's coming again, this time upon the entire world. Earlier I mentioned 5 categories of cannibalism, among which there were symbolic and survival. Now here's the Bible for you on symbolic cannibalism, found in John 6:8-57. I am the bread of life, Jesus says. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here's the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, verily I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so is the one who feeds on me, will live because of me. This symbolic partaking of Christ is the eating up of his word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4 right there. When you are in Christ and Christ is in you, he will preserve your life in these troublous times, even into eternity. It was this morning I read this text in my devotional, found in John 11:25-26. Jesus said, those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus is asking you this question at the end of verse 26. Do you believe this? Those who eat the flesh of other human beings to survive are those who don't know God or have faith in him. We are indeed living in the time of the unthinkable, friends. And the time of cannibalism is now. Whose side are you on? Whose flesh will you eat? A question for all of us to ponder. God bless you. Thank you for listening to today's reflection. Join me again next week for another episode. Until then, stay blessed.